Welcome to FBC Scottsdale. I'm Dean Austin, and you're watching In the Loop. Thanks for joining us today. The service will begin in a few minutes, but we want to take this opportunity to tell you a little bit about who we are and what we do. Our vision is to be a light in the community where people come as they are to worship and explore God, connect with other people, and get involved in ministry for the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. We would love to get to know you a little better as well. If this is your first time here, please fill out the card in your worship folder. Those cards can also be used for prayer requests, and we will pray for you throughout the week. Today we will hear from John Bosick as we continue our Next Step series. He will be talking about how everyone has something that is blocking them from taking the next step with Christ. Whether that's a physical addiction or a burden of guilt or shame, he will give us the practical ways of removing those blocks so we're able to take the next step. Guys Night Out is this Tuesday at 6 p.m. in C2, and the cost is only $6. Join the guys for some pulled pork sandwiches and hear from some of the men from the mission team who went to build houses in Haiti. Grab a friend and come on out. FBCS 101 is a four-week class that's all about FBC Scottsdale. You will learn what our beliefs and values are, what makes us a unique community of faith, and you will have the option of becoming a member once the class is completed. Join us on Sunday evenings, beginning tonight at 5:30 p.m. in room E101. Every year, we have a Christmas tree festival that will be on display during the month of December. This is a great opportunity for groups to express their creativity, highlight a ministry, or share feelings about the season by decorating a tree of their own. If you're interested in decorating a tree or want to help assemble or take down the trees, please sign up at Welcome Central in the lobby on your way out. We are now posting all of Second Service online. That's right, even the worship. We used to only be able to post the sermons, and well, that's great and all, but now we get to include openers, worship, and even special elements. They are located under the Media tab on our new website at fbcscottsdale.org. Well, that's it from me. The service is about to begin, so if you haven't found a seat already, please do so now. If you missed any of these announcements, please visit our Welcome Central desk in the lobby on your way out or our website at fbcscottsdale.org for more information. Thanks for watching. I'm Dean Austin, and now you're In the Loop.
You are not alone if you are lonely. When you're feeling frail, you're not the only. We're all the same, in need of mercy, to be forgiven and be free. It's all you got to lean on, but thank God it's all you need, yeah. And all the people said amen. If you're rich or poor, well, it don't matter, weak or strong, you know love is what we're after. We're all broken, but we're all in this together. God knows we stumble and fall, and he so loved the world, he sent his son to save us all. And all the people said amen. Pure in heart, blessing all the people longing for another. people said amen. And all the people said amen.
How are you? My name is Erin, and I was lucky enough and blessed enough to get to be a part of the group that went to Haiti. And I was really excited. In my head, I was like, oh, I'm going to go help people, you know. And I was really wrong about that, because the group that I went with and the kids that I met there and the people that I met there, they're the ones that ended up helping me. You know, it put a whole new perspective on things for me, you know. To see the harsh reality of, like, people that have ripped shoes and no water and limited amounts of food and no, there's not a free education system there. And that blew my mind. I didn't even know that was one of the problems that they had, you know, to see that and then to see how happy they are still, and they're still waving and saying bonjour and bonsoir, and they have a smile on their face, you know, it's like, wow, the things that I complain about in my life, you know, like, that's not even comes close to what people are going through, and you know what's happening, and you know what's out there, but until it's, like, in your face, and you're just like, wow, like, God tells us not to worry about anything, you know, that he's going to provide, that he has a plan for us, you know, but we do worry anyways, all of our, like, first world problems, you know. So it definitely put a whole new perspective on things for me. And one of the hardest things for me was definitely the orphanage, you know. It was the most rewarding, like, in my heart, you know. But these kids, like, have never gotten, like, physical touch. And, like, you know, they've never been told, like, you're important and I love you and I care about you a lot, you know, and you're going to do good things, like, those kind of things that we need, you know. And so it was hard, like, you have one on your lap and, like, a kid sitting on your legs, and then one here and one here, and then one crawls up and sits on your shoulders because they just can't get enough love, you know. And it breaks my heart, because I was reading a book to them, and there was a mom and a dad and a little baby in the book. And so the boy, he's old enough, he's like, oh, mama, papi, garçon. And that hurt my heart a lot, because he knows what the family structure is supposed to look like, but he knows that he doesn't have that, you know. So I'm nervous. it made me realize that I want to live more simply, you know, and give everything that I have, because, you know, God tells us not to love the world or anything in it, you know, but I do. I love my car and my house, and it makes me realize, like, I need to give a lot of different things up in my life to live the life that God has for me, you know. And I was very, very blessed to have gotten to grow up in a Christian house, you know, and have known God's love for me my entire life, you know, through my mom, which is, I'm very blessed for. But this was an incredible experience for me, because I was never part of a youth group or a Bible study or anything like that. And so to be around, like, 19 other Christians who are praying every night and, you know, encouraging each other and supporting one another, like, that was a brand new experience for me. And it just meant absolutely the world to me, you know. And one of the things that I put in my journal while I was there was 1 Peter 3:15, where it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And after going there, I have a whole new reason, you know, because to go to their Sunday service, you know, I don't know what the sermon says, and I have no idea what the songs say, but to see the conviction, like, and God, like, working through all those people, you know what I mean, just the love for Christ in a little church on the side of a mountain on the other side of the world was a really, really powerful thing. And I just feel very blessed that I was able to be a part of that. And so thank you guys, too, for praying for us. I know I felt it a lot, you know, when I was just like, I can't lift another rock. I just isolate myself, because I'm, like, crying because it's so emotional to see all this. And, you know, then the next day I'd wake up and I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go, you know, give me some work to do, you know, and so I know I was being prayed for, so thank you so much, you guys, and that's all I got.
Good morning. You know what? That was Justin did a great job with that song. And Aaron, right? I don't know Aaron. Great job. That makes you want to go, Yahoo! So just do that. Yahoo! That's good. Yeah, yell a little bit for crying in a bucket. God is good to us. Let's stand, love each other up, do something, hug and stuff. That'd be good.
gather together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down.
Father, for being with us here, touch us, teach us, lead us today. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Before we get into what we're going to talk about this morning, I want to say on behalf of the Haiti team, thank you. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for your financial support with the countless, it felt like, fundraisers that were happening. And we thank you so much that you provided us the privilege to go. While we were there, we encountered poverty. We encountered some tough situations. But through it all, we saw hope. I've been to Haiti about 8 or 9 times, and this one trip, I saw hope for Haiti for the first time. And it was cool to see. And the team that I was on, I got along with everybody except one person. And, it's just the way it is, 18 other folks, and one of them just drove me nuts. But now you're wondering who that is. Mike Dudley. So there you have it, okay? But I want to say thanks. And it ties into what we're talking about today. I have asked over the years, what is your least favorite day of the week? And by far and away, the one day that comes to the top of the list over and over again is Friday. People just don't like Fridays very much. I don't get it very much, but for some reason, Friday's got a bad rap, and that's the expression I was looking for. Friday's the best day of the week. But people, when I said it this morning in first service, they're going, I love Fridays, and they were almost upset with me. So Monday is that day. Monday is the least favorite day of the week. People don't look forward to the fact that they don't get to sleep in as much as they did on Saturday and Sunday. You guys, tomorrow, I want you to get yourselves mentally prepared for this. Tomorrow, you will encounter that teacher that you're convinced wants to ruin your life. You get to look forward to that tomorrow, so get excited about that, okay? For some of you, you're in jobs that you absolutely hate. And you enjoy the weekends because you're away from those jobs. Well, tomorrow's coming. Get ready for it. Monday is also the day where most people start their new diet. Okay? And so it makes sense that Monday gets a bad rap because by the afternoon on Monday, people, instead of having donuts and enjoying sweets and things like that, have opted for fruit or celery, which I have no idea why celery exists, but that's okay. But they, by the time Monday afternoon comes around, they're miserable. They're upset. They're tired. They're hungry. And yet they have the rest of the week to look forward to. Why do I bring this up today? Why do I bring this up now? Reason why I bring this up is because when we talk about taking that next step today, and we've been looking at the series for the past couple of weeks, we come to a place today where there's a word that I'm going to use that people don't like very much. And at times it elicits the same type of a response as a Monday morning. And it's a word called sacrifice. When we hear the word sacrifice, all of a sudden we begin to go through our minds and try to figure out, what is it that we're holding on to so tightly? We're just holding on to it with everything we have, and we don't want to let go of it. And we're afraid that if we let go of it, we don't know what's going to happen next. The reality is this: to get to Friday, to get to Sunday, you got to go through Monday. It's not easy. But yet Christ calls us all to take that next step. Some of you that are here this morning holding on to something so tightly, and God has been asking you, inviting you over and over again to let it go, to sacrifice it, to give it up. And you hold on more tightly. I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 9. And we read these words. And the interesting thing about Luke chapter 9 is we're now, the stage is set, and Jesus Christ is moving towards Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is going to be where everything comes down on him. And we read these words in verses 57 to 62. It says this: as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I'll follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "First, Lord, let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Fathers, we come to this difficult passage. We pray that you would speak to each and every one of us, that your Holy Spirit would take the words that I say and use them to help us understand the importance of taking that next step. We pray that you would open our eyes to our fears, our anxieties, our doubts, our guilt, our shame, our regrets. And we pray in the process of opening our eyes to that, that we would also be able to see that you're there, that you give us hope, that you give us the strength, that you provide the peace and the power to go wherever you've called us to go. We love you. And we pray your Holy Spirit would lead us now. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have to start by asking you this question. Who's the leader? Who's the leader? We have this great encounter here where a person comes up to Christ as they're walking along this road, and the person says, "I'll follow you wherever you go." It's wonderful. It's wonderful to see that. It's wonderful to read that. And you see this person making that statement. You're going, yes, that's awesome. That's what we're to be about. But Christ's response is pretty blunt. And we'll get to that here in just a few moments. But his response almost comes across as harsh and cold. And there's a reason for that. Remember, every time that you're reading something in the Bible, take a look at what's going on around those verses. And if we were to go back just a few verses, we'd read this verse 51. It says this: "As the time approached for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem." In the Greek, where it says Jesus resolutely set out, what the Greek says is this: that he set his face towards Jerusalem. There was no deterring him from where he was going to go. There was no way that he was going to veer off course. He was determined to get to Jerusalem. And by him being determined to get to Jerusalem, he knew that it meant this: crucifixion was just around the corner. So as they're walking along this road, and this person comes up to Jesus and says, "Hey, I'll follow you wherever you go." Well, Jesus is going to the cross. He knows where he's heading. And so this person makes this incredible statement, and we applaud the statement, but Jesus has his mind on the cross. He knows in a matter of days, if not months, weeks, whatever the case may be, that's where he's going. He knows he's going to encounter loneliness. He knows he's going to be rejected. He knows he's going to be beaten. He knows that people are going to spit on him. He knows that he's going to be mocked. And this person says, "I will follow you wherever you go." So who's the leader? Who's the leader? This phrase of following is not an easy thing, that I will follow. It's not easy, especially growing up in the United States. We're told from a young age that we are the leaders of the free world. We're told from a young age that not only are we the leaders of the free world, but we're on the cutting edge and that everybody else is going to follow us. We're told from a young age that if you grow up in the United States, that you have the best opportunities before you and you should not waste them one instance. We believe that we are the ones that people are to follow, and we're told that from a very, very young age. We don't just have World Series champions, we have world champions. We don't just have Super Bowl champions, we have world champions. We don't just have NBA Finals champions, we have world champions. What I'm saying is growing up here and the environment in which all of us are raised, you are told again and again to lead. So we come to this place. And as I was reading this past week, I asked myself this question. We're called to lead. Have we forgotten how to follow? Have we forgotten how to follow? You can go online right now and sign up for a number of leadership conferences. Matter of fact, you could go to Amazon.com, type in leadership, and you will be hit with an incredible list of leadership books. You can even go and get on your iPhone or whatever, and you can download podcasts of people talking about leadership strategies. It's leadership, leadership, leadership. But I ask you this. When was the last time you signed up for a conference that involved following? When was the last time that there was a book written about following that made the top 10 list? Name the last podcast where you were listening to a person talking to you about following. Have we forgotten how to follow? So we've made this costly exchange. The costly exchange is this, is that we say in one day, I will follow, and then the next day we say, wait a second, I will lead you, Lord Jesus, where I want you to take me. Think about it. Who's really leading your life? Is it someone who will never let you down? Is it someone you can trust? Is it someone who understands your life better than anybody else and better than you? Is it someone who has your best interests in mind all the time? If we knew someone like that, would we not give our all to follow that person? Would we not give up everything to follow that person that can be trusted, that has our best interests in mind, that's always there? Yet, we do have that person. His name's Jesus Christ. He's experienced everything that you have experienced and will ever experience, and he has paid the price that you could never pay. He's died the death that you could never die. He is risen from the dead, and he reigns on high. You and I can't do that on our own. He's done it. He's dependable. He's trustworthy. Yet there's a cold reality here. And the cold reality is this. Is that we doubt God's goodness. We do. We say, I will follow you wherever you go, but there's some stipulations here. Because I really don't think you're going to be good all the time. Because we've been disappointed by different people in our lives all the time, and we find ourselves wondering how in the world God could be good all the time. But he is. And you've heard me say this before, you've heard me say this many times, and so now I just call it the broken record principle, and it's this. God is good all the time, God is good. He will not let you down. So when you make this statement, I will follow you wherever you go, know this, that it's good wherever he's taken you. And I don't mean to tell you that everything's going to be smooth sailing and honky-dory and everything's going to come up roses and all that kind of stuff. What I'm saying is, in the midst of whatever's happening, wherever he is leading you, he is good and will not disappoint you. Guaranteed. You can read all the way from Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. You will never see God let you down. That's the way he operates. So, who's the leader? Who's the leader of your life? And then, so this person makes this statement that they'll follow you wherever, they said, I'll follow you wherever you go. And then Jesus says, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. The abruptness of Jesus' response is startling. It just is. And Jesus informs the person that what they're agreeing to is a narrow road. It's a narrow road that not many people want to travel. It's a narrow road that involves rejection. It's a narrow road that involves homelessness, that you won't be taken care of. You won't have a place to lay your head. It's a narrow road that will cost you everything. So will you still follow? You see, what Christ is saying is if you're going to tell me that you're going to follow me wherever you go, you need to understand that your direction comes from me, Jesus Christ, not the latest trend. There are so many trends out there that we buy into, and they always disappoint. On the morning of August 31st, Diana Nyad entered the waters off of the shore of Cuba. She entered those waters, and her goal was to get from Cuba to Key West, Florida. 110 miles. The latest trend would be, Diana, you're a fool. You've tried this four other times in your life and you've never made it. What are you doing? The latest trend would say that, Diana, we're here for you, but I'm going to tell you this right now. When the water starts getting really difficult, you're probably not going to have anybody there for you. The latest trend would say that, Diana, do you not realize that you're 64 years old and swimming for 110 miles straight is foolishness? But Diana got in the water and she began to swim. People that were observing her said that her average, she was swimming at 50 swim strokes per minute. I don't know if that's good or not. I think that is. I get in a pool and I look like I don't know what I'm doing. But she got going. And she kept going. And on September 2nd, after swimming for 52 hours, 54 minutes, and 18 seconds, she arrived in Key West, Florida. 110.4 miles of swimming in the ocean. The latest trend said she was too old, that she shouldn't do this, that it was foolish, that her past told her that it was impossible to do this. But yet her direction came from a bigger thing. Her direction came from this idea of, I can do this. What does that have to do with what we're talking about today? The way of Christ is distinctly different. It's not the popular move. It isolates you. It causes people to scratch their head and say, do you not realize that you should get even with that person who has hurt you? It's not the popular move. And for Jesus Christ, his entire life was spent moving from this place to this place. He really had no place to lay his head. And so why, when we say that I will follow you wherever you go, why do we believe that it would be different for us? It won't be. It won't be. And then we come to some very difficult words. And we read these words starting in verse 59. Jesus said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and you proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said that I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. So Jesus hears these people saying, I will follow you wherever you go. And then he invites them to follow him. And they instantly come up with excuses. So what's your excuse this morning? What's my excuse this morning? And these are not easy words to digest. We say over and over again how much Jesus cares about us and how he's forgiven us and how he'll be there for you. But these words that we just read, let the dead bury their own dead, that's harsh. It's cold. It causes us to be uneasy. At least it did for me. And at least it does for me every time that I come to this passage. So what's going on here? Well, he really did say it. He said it, and he really meant it. And you can say, he said what? And I would say, he said, let the dead bury their own dead. He said, don't look back. Put your hand to the plow and keep going forward. He said those things. He really did. But what's going on here? What's happening here? It's believed that this particular person, there are one of two options that are going on with this first person who said, let me go and bury my father. The first option is this, is that the father was not quite dead yet. And he wanted to wait for his father to die so that he could then get the inheritance and then he would follow after God. There's also this second option. In Jesus' time, there was what was called the primary burial, which is when a family member dies, you wrap them up, you prepare them, you put them in the tomb. You then have a 12-month period of mourning. At the end of that 12-month period of time, the body has decomposed to the place where it's just bones left. And so then they have what is called the secondary burial, which is this. You go into that tomb, you gather those bones, and you put them into what is called a bone box. There's a bigger word that I can't remember off the top of my head, but just suffice it to say, a box of bones. Okay? So either this guy's dad hasn't died yet, and the guy's wanting his dad to die so he could get the inheritance, and then everything's fine, or the guy has already died, and this guy's saying, well, there's this other thing I need to do. Whatever the case may be, it's an excuse. It's an excuse because Jesus says, now's the time. Now's the time. You may have an allegiance to taking care of what's going on around you, but I want you to understand this. If your allegiance is waiting for your dad to die so you can get the inheritance, you're not fit for the kingdom. The time for the kingdom is now. Your excuse doesn't fly. So then another person comes up to him and says, listen, I'll follow you, Lord, but let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus says, the time's now. The time's now. Over the years, when I was doing student ministry and we would go to camps or to retreats, and you would hear students make these great proclamations of what they were going to do later on in life. And as a church and as a group of student ministry folks, we would rally around those students and do whatever we can to encourage them. And a number of those students went back into family situations where they told their family what they were going to do for Christ, and their family looked at them and said, that's a foolish thing to do. You need to rethink what you just said. Their own family saying you're a fool for pursuing after the kingdom of God. So when this person says, well, let me first go back and talk to my family and we'll get things taken care of so I can tell them goodbye, Jesus is saying, don't do that. Because if you do, there's a chance that you're not going to follow through. Remember, the kingdom of God's time is now, not later. He's saying, take a look at where your allegiances lie. You've said, I will follow you wherever you go, and now there's an opportunity for you, and you're saying, I'm going to hold off. The time is now. The time is now. Some of you this morning are here, and you hear him calling your name saying, the time is now. And your response to him is this, don't you know what I've done in my past? I've got addiction issues. I've struggled with this addiction, and I keep going back to it, even though I've tried and tried and tried and tried again. I don't know what to do. Christ says, I'm here for you. Let it go. And he might be very well inviting you to go and participate in our Christian AA group here that meets on Thursday nights and invite you to do that very thing. Perhaps some of you are sitting here this morning going, well, you don't get it. You don't get it, God. I can't let go of this guilt. I really screwed up the other day. And Christ is saying, don't look back. I have plowed the road before you, and I will take care of you. Let go of your guilt. Come to me, accept my forgiveness, and move forward. Some of you right now are racked with shame. You can't believe what you've done to other people. And Christ is telling you this morning, let it go. Drop it. Because I will take you where you need to go. You see, it's real easy to make excuses. It's real easy to say, hey, we're going to follow you no matter what. But then when Christ says, I'm going to take you up on your offer, what's your immediate response? Because if your immediate response is, I'll do it, but, that but is winning the war. That but is winning your allegiance. And there's a reason why I keep saying but. But anyway, just know that. What follows after that word is what's controlling your response to Jesus Christ. I will follow you wherever you go. And what fascinates me is this, is that Christ offers the invitation to everybody. He could have said, I'm doing this all on my own, but he invites people to follow him and to participate in the greatest reclamation project humanity has ever seen. He could have done it solo, but he invites each and every one of us to follow him. Will you do that? The invitation is yours. He's extending it to you today. An invitation that says, you're forgiven. An invitation that says, you're ready. An invitation that says, I will use you no matter what you think of yourself. An invitation that says, I've done everything so that you can be the person that I desire you to be. He's paid the price that you could never pay. He's died a death that you could never die. And he's risen from the dead to seal the deal. So when you say, I will follow you wherever you go, he's already taken you, and he's already going to use you, and he will take care of you no matter what. That's the type of God we have. And the invitation to participate in this is open to all. Father, we pray now, as we reflect on these words, that we would follow you. Some of us are carrying around stuff in our lives that we can't carry anymore. It's in the past. And so we're praying by the power of your Holy Spirit that we would let that go, that we would sacrifice it to you and say, here it is. Father, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would then equip us and help us, and that we would follow you wherever you go. We need you. And we pray that we would be the people you've called us to be and live lives that follow you wherever you may go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. believe it's time to have the ushers come forward. And as the ushers are coming forward, just to let you know this, we've sent people to Africa, we've sent people to Haiti, and we're going to pray over Mark and Madison Carpenter in a little while as they go to Haiti. And you might be sitting there thinking, well, you guys keep sending all these people away, and yet there's still some financial situation here. What's going on? You need to know this, that God has provided for those folks and that team to go, and not a penny has been spent from our general fund. And the reason for that is because of the generosity of folks. And so we invite you to participate as we continue to do a mission here in South Scottsdale that we hope and believe will make an impact for the kingdom. Thank you for contributing.
Holy, holy, holy.
God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God.
I win. Oh, that was good. That was a good way to enter. I'm Kelsey. If you haven't met me, I'm the youth pastor here at FBCS, and I have with me two of the Carpenters. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm very excited for them. They're headed to Haiti next Sunday. They're going to be spending a week there. I think it's cool that we're part of a church that we get one team back from Haiti, and we didn't get enough, so we send another. How awesome is that? They're going to go and do some medical stuff there and use some different skill sets, no lifting big things like this last team. You guys were awesome. But we just want to pray for them. So for the next 2 weeks, if you just want to keep them in your prayers and just remember them and be thinking about them, and we're just going to pray for them right now. So why don't you go ahead and bow your heads with me. God, we just want to praise you and thank you for an opportunity to send people out, to send people to parts of the world where you're already there and you're already doing magnificent things, and to send people out to be encouragements to those that are already in place. God, right now, I thank you for Mark and Madison and their desires to go into the world and be your hands and feet. God, I pray that you are protecting them and that you are surrounding them and that you are giving them wisdom. God, I also pray for the hearts of those that they're going to touch while they're there, whether it be people already working there that just needed a little extra encouragement or people that are there for treatment. God, I just ask that you are using these two as encouraging lights to whoever they come into contact with. God, you are an incredible God that exists both here and away, so we just thank you for the hearts of individuals who want to serve you. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Before we go, a couple things just to alert you to. In 2 weeks, we're going to have a special business meeting at the end of this particular service to vote on Janice McLean as a new elder, and so we invite you to participate in that if you're a member of the church here. And the second thing is this, is that we have art shows going through the gallery all the time, and there's a new art show. It's called Fiber Connections, and we invite you to take a look at that over in the gallery. There is an open house for that this Friday at 7 o'clock, right, Jesse? Is that right, 7 o'clock? 7 o'clock. So if you'd like to be there for that, that would be fantastic. So, hey, whatever it is that God's calling you to do this week, know that he is good. Know that he will take care of you. If you need to talk to one of us on staff about some things that you need to let go of, we invite you to do that. Let us know. Call us up. Let us know. We'd love to get together with you and talk about that. But in all of that, whether you need to let go of something or God's calling you to do something, we're here to help. And he is the one who will empower us. He is the one who never lets us down. He cares all the time. And so it's my prayer for you this week. It's my prayer for myself this week that we would enjoy his goodness and that we truly would go wherever he's called us to go. God bless you. Enjoy your week.